Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this week's teaching. You know, this week's teaching, we are in the book of Numbers. We're reading through the chapters of Numbers, chapter 19 through chapter 25. And so I have picked a verse here. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 22, and we're going to be talking about the story of Balak and Balaam and gleaning some wisdom of what we can learn from this story here. So let's go ahead and let's get started in Numbers chapter 22, and we're going to start here with verse 1. It says, "Then the people of Israel set out and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan at Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was in great dread of the people because they were many. Moab was overcome with fear of the people of Israel, and Moab said to the elders of Midian, 'This horde will now lick up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field.' So Balak, the son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at that time, sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the people of Ammah, to call him, saying, 'Behold, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth, and they are dwelling opposite me.'" So I want to pause here for a moment and just kind of talk about these first verses here. Balak, who sees the people of Israel approaching his land, he's there. He's the king of Moab, and so Israel is in the plains of Moab, just beyond the Jordan, near Jericho, and he sees this massive crowd of Israel. Now, remember the promise that was given unto Abraham, right? "I will make your descendants as the stars in the sky and as the dust of the earth." And so as we read through these stories here in the Torah, we begin to see how Israel, who is the descendants of Abraham, has multiplied in such a great degree. And we see here that Balak himself is afraid of Israel because of the great number of people, but also because of what he has seen and heard about what they had done to the Amorites. So Balak is now, you can say, overcome with fear. He is afraid of what Israel will do to him. He sees that his land is going to be taken up. He's not going to have anything left. And he's also afraid that he is going to be destroyed because of Israel, like they did unto the Amorites. So he is going to begin to create a plan in order to survive, in order to keep his kingdom, and to hold on to his kingdom. So let's kind of pause and think about that for a moment. You know, we have an enemy, and that is Satan himself, who is ruling and running through this world. And he has a desire for every soul and every person that is on this earth. And he desires for them to be with him and to worship him and not to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is his desire, is for each person to worship him instead of worshiping Yahweh. So he will do things, and he will act, as we see here with Balak, he will act along the same regards in order to try to get people to worship him, or you could say to hold on to his kingdom. So he is going to put things in place, and he will try to do things to cause people to want to abandon, walk away from the God of Abraham and Isaac or Jacob, or to just turn a blind eye to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he wants to hold on to his kingdom. So Balak's approach was to call for Balaam, who was a prophet of God, and he has a desire for him to do something for him. So we're going to read that here in verse 6. He says, "Come now and curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and him who you curse is cursed." So Balak seems to know and have an understanding, which is very interesting, because I think sometimes us as believers don't quite understand this concept as well as our enemy Satan himself does. And that is the fact that we are God's people. Israel was God's people. And Balak was not going to be able to do any harm unto Israel. So he needed to do something. He needed to put something into place in order to defeat his enemy. Satan's desire is for us to worship him, and he is going to destroy us and whatever he has to destroy in order to try to get us to worship him. That is his desire. Okay, so Balak goes to hire Balaam to curse the people of Israel. So his thought is, if he curses them, they'll be cursed, they will be weakened, and then I will be able to defeat this army, because I cannot defeat this army unless they are first cursed. We see that in his mentality and in his thinking. They are a blessed people, and unless they are cursed, I will not be able to defeat them. Same goes for any person who is in covenant with the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are under his protection. We are under his covering. We are a blessed people. That doesn't mean that life goes perfectly for us all the time. We will still have struggles. We will still have valleys. We will still have to overcome difficult situations. But his blessing is upon us. The enemy cannot destroy us. The enemy cannot touch us, because we are underneath the covering of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? So in order for Balak to defeat Israel, he's like, I need to put a curse upon these people. See, Satan, his desire is to get us out from underneath the covering of our living God. How can he get us out from underneath his covering? Well, causing us and leading us astray and tempting us away from the covenant. From causing us or tempting us, pulling us away, luring us away from walking in obedience to Yahweh's word. When we choose to walk in rebellion, we choose to do our own thing, we pull ourselves out from underneath his covering. And we give the enemy the opportunity to now come and bring destruction into our lives. Balak wanted to destroy Israel. Satan wants us to worship him, but also in worshiping him, he's also going to bring destruction into our lives. And ultimately, that is what he desires. And so he is going to operate similar to how we see Balak operating in this story here. So let's look at verse 7. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and gave him Balak's message. So his desire is for Balaam to curse Israel. He has given his men money to bring to Balaam in order to persuade Balaam to come and curse the people of Israel. His men show up to Balaam with Balak's message saying, this is what we need you to do. This is what we're asking for you to do. Here's some money for you to curse Israel as we are asking you to do. So they're going to now entice Balaam. They're going to hire Balaam to, you could say, speak or say what they want him to say. Okay? So that's something we have to be careful about as well, is this concept or idea of being hired to speak the words of men, to speak what man wants us to speak, instead of speaking the words of God. So ultimately in this story, what we see is we have what God's will is, we have what God's purpose is, what his word is to be spoken over Israel, because God's desire is for Israel to be blessed, not to be cursed. Balak's desire is for Israel to be cursed, and he's going to bring money in order to obtain or to get that curse. So Balaam is going to have himself in a spot where he's going to have to choose between, am I going to listen to what God's word is, to what his command is, what he's telling me to do? Am I going to speak his words, or am I going to give in and speak the words that man wants me to speak, that Balak wants me to speak, because he's given me money? We have to be careful, because what does scripture tell us? The love of money is a root of all evil. The love of money can cause many to go astray, pursuing and chasing after obtaining that money. Okay, well, let's look at verse 8. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you. As Yahweh speaks to me, so the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. And God said to Balaam, and said, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, behold, a people has come out of Egypt, and it covers the face of the earth. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them and drive them out." So Balak's people has come to Balaam. They have given him his message. They are there with the fee, with the money. And he tells, Balaam tells them to lodge there with him tonight. And he says, "I will bring back word to you." And so basically what Balaam does is he goes to seek Yahweh. And so he's going to see, am I able to do this? Is it okay for me to go and speak a curse over Israel and receive this money, right? So the princes stayed there with Balaam. So God comes to Balaam and he answers his question. He says, who are these people? And so Balaam begins to tell him who they are. They have asked me to curse a people who has come out of Egypt and who covers the face of the earth so that they will be able to fight against them and drive them out. So he is seeking, you could say, at this moment in time, he's presenting the matter before God, saying this is what's going on. In verse 12, God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go to your own land, for Yahweh has refused to let me go." So what is the first initial answer we see in this story when Balaam speaks to God about the situation? God's response is, "You shall not go." That was God's desire from the very beginning, was that Balaam would not go. And he tells him, "You are not to curse the people, for they are blessed." Okay? What God has blessed, it cannot be cursed. And we see later in the story that God actually turns what was meant to be a curse into a blessing. Okay, so God protects Israel through this whole story. He puts a hedge of protection upon them and around them. That is one of the benefits of being a covenant child of God, is that he puts a hedge of protection around you. He protects you, and he calls us blessed. And because we are blessed, we cannot be cursed. Okay, so Balaam rises in the morning and he tells the princes of Balak, "Go to your own land. Yahweh has refused to let me go." So he's telling them, it is not in Yahweh's desire for me to go along with you. Okay. Now, if we as believers can learn to stay right there in our relationship with God, when we go before him and we seek his advice, we seek his guidance and his direction, when he answers us, and sometimes that answer can be contrary to what we're wanting, and it can be contrary to our flesh, and we need to learn to be in a spot to where we can receive that answer, even though it's not the answer we want to hear, and obey that answer right away, instead of wiggling around in our flesh and still trying to find a way to satisfy our flesh. Because I believe as we proceed through this story, that's what we see with Balaam. Balaam's desire was to receive that money from Balak. And so he was looking and searching for a way that he could go and receive the money from Balak of what was being given to him, but also do what God wanted him to do. Okay? So he starts playing this little game. And we have to be careful with that as believers too, because our flesh and the evil desires that reside within us can lead us astray. It can cause us to do the same thing where we play this game where we know what the answer is. We know what the will of God is, but yet we wiggle around and we try to squirm and we try to work a way to where we can satisfy our flesh, but still be in obedience with God. And ultimately, in the end, it's never going to work out for us when we try to do that. So let's go ahead and look at verse 14. So the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Once again, Balak sent princes more in number and more honorable than these. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come, curse this people for me. But Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of Yahweh my God to do less or more. So you too, please stay here tonight that I may know what more Yahweh will say to me. So Balak's people go back to him, tell him that Balaam has said no, he refuses to come. His God is not going to allow him to come and curse the children of Israel. So Balak does not take no for an answer. And you kind of think about that. How many times do we tell our flesh no, and it seems like our flesh does not take no for an answer? It's a reason why we have to die to our flesh every day. It's a reason why Yeshua said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. We have to get serious with sin. If we're going to defeat sin, if we're going to defeat temptation in our lives, we have to know that temptation's not going to go away because we said no one time. Okay? Balaam said no one time, and Balak came back answering again. Balaam says, let me seek what Yahweh will say to me. Balaam did not need to seek what Yahweh needed to say to him. He already knew what the answer was. How many times do we go and seek direction or ask for permission to do something when we already know what the answer is? So Balaam goes before Yahweh again, trying to get permission to go. Again, because why? Because Balaam wanted the money. So he is trying to find a way that he can get Balak's money without disobeying Yahweh. So he goes back again. Verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise and go with them, but only do what I tell you. Now remember, God's initial thing was for Balaam not to go. So you could almost say God's at this point of like, okay, you want to go. You're going to keep coming before me, asking me, can you go? So go. But whatever you do, only say what I tell you. So even in Balaam's stubbornness and walking in his flesh and still desiring to go to Balak so he could get this money, God still works a plan out and still protects Israel from the curse. Okay? Let's look at verse 21. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went and the angel of Yahweh took his stand in the way of his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey and his two servants were with him. I want to pause here for a second. So Balaam has decided he's going to go. He has saddled his donkey. He is on his way to go see Balak to collect on his money and do what he needs to do in order to receive his money. Or as we would say, he's going to go and do whatever he needs to do to satisfy his flesh. He has given in to what his flesh has desired, and that was for that money, okay? Now, along the way, we see now that an angel of Yahweh takes a stand in his way, and it calls Balaam in this story an adversary of the angel of Yahweh. The last place that we want to be is to be an adversary of Yahweh, of God, of Yeshua. We do not want to be the one who is his adversary, who's walking contrary to his ways and purposes, contrary to his desire. Balaam was being disobedient to the original plan, the original instructions that Yahweh had given him. So because of his disobedience, he has become an adversary unto Yahweh. Let that speak unto us. When we purposefully and willfully, continually walk in the lust of our flesh and according to what our flesh desires and walk in disobedience, knowing that what we're doing is not correct, is not satisfying in his eyes, and is contrary to what his purpose and will is for our lives. If we continue to do that, we will be as Balaam. We will be found to be his adversary. But even as Balaam was found to be his adversary, Yahweh is still out there protecting his children. He is protecting Israel. And this is the next step. He has told him, only do what I tell you. Now he is bringing his angel along. He is meeting him in the way. And he's going to make sure that he remembers what he has spoken unto him and what he has said, and that he will stick to what he has been told. Let's look at verse 23. And the donkey saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of Yahweh stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of Yahweh, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of Yahweh went ahead and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of Yahweh, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then Yahweh opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" So remember, as we read previously, the angel of Yahweh stands in the way of his adversary. So he's standing in the way of Balaam. But Balaam doesn't even know that the angel is there. He doesn't even know that the one he is fighting against is standing in the path and is ready to wage war against him, you could say. But the donkey is able to see it. And so the donkey turns to the side. He turns away. He does what he needs to do to prevent or to come close to the angel of Yahweh. Okay. Now, again, as I said before, I believe this is Yahweh really trying to stress unto Balaam that, look, taking Balak's money is against my will. Speaking a curse against the children of Israel is against my will. Even you going originally was against my will. But you have over and over again chosen to do what you want to do. You have chosen in your mind that you're going to get this money from Balak. And so you are doing whatever you got to do in order to obtain that money. Dangerous place to be with us. When we will do whatever it takes to satisfy our flesh, God knows when we're serving and living for our flesh instead of serving and living for him. So he sends a warning to him. I would say this is God in his mercy. In his mercy, he will send us a warning. In his mercy, he will bring correction, because his desire is for us to turn from that behavior. His desire is for us to repent of that behavior. Okay? So, we as a people, we as believers of Yeshua, need to be able to recognize and see when his correction is there and when we need to turn back and go in the correct direction. Now, Balaam was probably really surprised when this donkey started talking to him. So I'm pretty sure after this moment occurred, it was stuck in his head about this. And I'm pretty sure, I would hope that at this point, Balaam is beginning to understand the idea and the purpose of making sure that he does not curse Israel. Okay? That they are a blessed people. So if you're going to speak anything over Israel, speak a blessing and not a curse. So look at verse 29. And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then Yahweh opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of Yahweh said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you, because your way is perverse before me." So here, the angel of Yahweh speaks unto Balaam, and he says, "I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me." What does it mean to be perverse? Perverse is anytime we stray from his commands. It's anytime we stray away from the straight path that he has set before us. So when we go against his instructions, his commands, the directions that he has given into our lives, we are walking in that which is perverse. Any type of disobedience to his word, to his Torah and his law, would be considered perverse. It is off course. Okay. So Balaam has gone off course in the fact that he is desiring to obtain this money from Balak. He says, "So I'm opposing you because you or straying from my desire, from my purposes." Okay? We don't want to be one who is being opposed by God. We don't want God opposing us. That is not the one you want to be fighting against. He's the one you want to be fighting with. And he will oppose you when you walk in that which is perverse, or that which is not righteous, that which is not according unto his law, his instructions, his Torah. He opposes those who walk in the desires and the lust of their flesh. To those he stands against. Let's look at verse 33. "The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live." Then Balaam said to the angel of Yahweh, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Now, therefore, if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back." So here at this moment, we can see that it appears that Balaam has gotten the idea. He understands now that he is not to curse Israel. This is not a good thing. This is not something that God wants to have happen. In fact, he shouldn't even take the money from Balak in the first place. Okay, so he's like, so if it is evil, I will turn back, or I will repent. Verse 35. And the angel of Yahweh said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only the word that I tell you. So Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab on the border formed by Arnon at the extremity of the border. And Balak said to Balaam, did I not send to you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? And Balaam said to Balak, behold, I have come to you. Have I now any power of my own to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak. Balaam has asked the question, should I turn back? Should I go back? The angel of Yahweh says, go with the men. Maybe at this point, God's at the point now where he knows that Balaam is not going to curse Israel. So he allows him to go. And what ends up happening is instead of Balaam cursing Israel, he blesses them three times. And then you also have his final discourse. So you could almost say that he blesses Israel four times. So each time that Balaam asked Balaam to go and curse Israel, Balaam goes, but he speaks only the words that God put in his mouth. So of course, he speaks a blessing over Israel instead of a curse. So the donkey situation, I believe, was a way for God to do a work in Balaam to make sure that he could trust Balaam to not curse Israel. God will do that with us. He will refine us. He will bring us through testing so that he knows that he can trust us. That when it comes time to speak, that we're going to speak his words and not the words of men. When it was time for Balaam to speak, he chose to speak the words of God instead of choosing the words that would satisfy man, that would be ear-pleasing unto man, even though he would receive money for that, and maybe even a great sum of money. Because of that. So in this story, Yahweh protects Israel from the curse, and instead of being cursed, Balaam ends up going anyway. And instead of cursing Israel, he blesses them. So he just totally flips Satan's script all around and messes up his whole plan. And in one of those blessings, we actually have a promise of the coming Messiah. So it's awesome to know that we serve a God who protects us just as he protected Israel in this story. But we also need to beware of the words that we speak, the things that we say. Are we speaking words that are pleasing unto man in order to obtain money? Are we going to speak the words that God has placed in our mouths? Well, I hope that this message has blessed you. We are so glad that you have joined us this week. We hope you come back and join us next week, as we will be back with a teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.